Welcome back to No Longer Conformed as we continue our look at the book of Acts. This session we'll be looking at Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to verse 40, Philip's witness to the Ethiopian. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, Jesus said to the apostles just before he was ascended to heaven, he said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. We saw the mighty witness in Jerusalem, chapters 2 through 7, including the martyrdom of Stephen, the deacon. We've been watching the witness in Judea and Samaria here in chapter 8, in verses 4 and 5, and then in verse 25. Verse 4, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Verse 25, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So Philip went down and he preached the gospel and many were saved. And so Peter and John came down to check it out from Jerusalem, saw that they authentically believed, prayed for them. The Holy Spirit came just like it did in Jerusalem. And everything was great. And then Peter and John head back to Jerusalem, but along the way they stopped in different villages and kept preaching the gospel all the way back to Jerusalem. In this session, we will get a foretaste of the witness among Gentiles that will soon come to the ends of the earth. Philip's witness to the Ethiopian eunuch is a beautiful example of salvation preparation, witness, and commitments. First, look at the preparation in verses 26 down to verse 29 of chapter 8. "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is desert. "So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake this chariot.'" God's initiative in this process is absolutely undeniable. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, and he obeyed the Spirit. It reads so simply, "So he arose and went." A good example for Christians today, when the Holy Spirit speaks, we do what we're told. We get up and do it. Ethiopia is the land of Cush in the Old Testament. They believed their kings were incarnations of the sun god. Their role as a ruler was largely ceremonial. The queen really ran the country. And the man in our narrative was a treasurer who was a eunuch. It was a very common practice to castrate boys who were destined to serve in the harem or in the treasury. It promoted trust and loyalty. So, why is the significance of telling us that the man was a eunuch? Why do we need to know that? Why is it important? Why is it significant for us to learn that he's a eunuch? Well, that lets us know something about him. He's reading Isaiah. He came to worship Jerusalem, but because he's a eunuch, he's banned from the temple. Deuteronomy 23, verse 1. He who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. So a God-fearing follower of the God of Israel, this man could visit the temple, but could not enter. Enter. But there was hope in the message of the prophet. Isaiah 53 was where he was reading. Verses 3 through 8. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. Little did he know that he was about to experience the fulfillment of the prophet's message of promise in Jesus. Do you see the preparation by the Spirit, the angel's visitation, and now the Holy Spirit's instruction? Now an angel of the Lord, verse 26, spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. And the eunuch, already reading Isaiah. Verse 28, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. So there's the preparation. And then second, there's the witness. Verses 30 to 35. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said to him, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture where he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Notice the Holy Spirit's involvement in setting it up. First of all, Philip heard him reading Isaiah and asked him a probing question. Do you understand what you're reading? The eunuch's response to Philip's question was, how can I, unless someone guides me? The Old Testament needs interpretation in the context of Jesus. Luke 24, verse 45. When Jesus was talking to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So, in order to understand the Old Testament, it needs to be interpreted in the context of Jesus Christ. So, the second thing, the Holy Spirit setting this whole thing up, Philip took the invitation to join him. Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. It's hard to understand in the context of Jesus Christ. Kingly Messiah versus suffering servant. He was oppressed, verse 7, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And Philip used the opportunity to share the whole counsel of God. It says, Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, right there where he was reading, preached Jesus to him. The eunuch. Who was the prophet talking about? What a witnessing opportunity that was given and set up by the Holy Spirit for Philip. So there's the preparation, there's the witness, and then third, there's the commitment. In verses 36 down to verse 40. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. The invitation? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The first part of verse 37. The commitment? And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Go back to verse 36. Baptism. Water. At this precise place, where? In the wilderness. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is in control. He is completely in control of the situation. What an exciting moment. The eunuch could never enter the assembly of God at the temple. The barriers are gone. Racial as a Gentile and physical because of castration. He's been baptized into the full membership of fellowship in the people of God by Jesus Christ. It's interesting how the narrative ends. Philip got carried away by the Spirit, and the eunuch continued home, rejoicing as a new man in Christ. Then, there's kind of an epilogue. Philip appears in Azotus and keeps on preaching the gospel. He made his way to Caesarea and apparently settled there. And how do we know that he settled there? Well, you got to look later on in the book of Acts. Luke's History of the Church, Volume 2. Acts chapter 21, verses 8 and 9. It says, on the next day, we who were Paul's companions, this is Luke talking about himself and others who were traveling with Paul, departed and came to Caesarea, and entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. So it identifies, so we know who this is. We know this is the same guy who was on his way from Azotus down to Caesarea, because it identified him two ways. It called him Philip the evangelist, which is what he did in Samaria on the road to Gaza. And it says, who was one of the seven, those first, what we believe to be deacons.
And then they stayed there, Paul and Luke, at least, and the other companions. And then it lets us know that he had four virgin daughters who prophesied, who were also sharing the good news of the Lord. Don't miss this note. Philip responded to the Holy Spirit in obedience, and so did his four daughters. So, what is the secret of successful witnessing? Well, first of all, pray daily for the opportunity to witness. And then second, trust that some good soil will be provided. And then third, be faithful until the fruit begins to bear. That's what Philip did, and that's what we need to do. You have a great day.